The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You live here. He lives here.
Chris, I love your show.
With everything that's going down, it really sucks the life out of you. I mean, and with your sense of humor, it kind of softens the blow a little bit.
Hey, Chris, good morning to you, and just wanted to enjoy your show, and you and Fast Eddie are doing a great job over there.
Joyce is very upset.
Flo, we've discussed this. Mornings are for coffee and contemplation.
Chief, she's...
Coffee and contemplation.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Hey, hope you had a great weekend. It's Monday, back in action. I know a lot of people aren't working today, right? It's kind of considered a federal holiday for a lot of folks. We're here, folks. We're here. Telephone number 610-850-0990. I can tell it's a holiday because the Dunkin' Donuts wasn't slammed. We got a Dunkin' Donuts up the road that I don't know when they open exactly. They open really early. But it doesn't matter. By 5 o'clock, they are just, I mean, they're out to Ridge Pike. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. Because they got one guy. Now, I don't know, I don't mean to tell anybody how to do their business. But Dunkin' Donuts, the name of your place is, half of the root word of your name is donuts. And I think traditionally we all understand that when you're going to have a place that serves donuts, and that's the half of the root word of your name, that's morning. I think we all understand. It doesn't mean donuts are only to be enjoyed in the morning, but I think traditionally we all understand that's typically when that's done. Morning. For the life of me, and again, I don't run one. I'm not a franchisee. It's none of my business. What do I know? I just cannot understand why you have the one guy. Just one. Now, I go into the same Dunkin' Donuts, say, noon for a cup of coffee, because that's what I do now. You know, in my drinking days, I didn't do this. I now know my grandfather, who also knocked off drinking years ago, I now know why he drank so much diet soda and coffee all the time, because that's what I do. I now drink coffee like an old man. I have coffee at noon, coffee at 3, coffee in the evening. Just get coffee all the time. So I drink coffee at noon. I'll go into Dunkin' Donuts. There's you know, like 500 people working back there. There's no one at Dunkin' Donuts, and there's like 300 people. I've never had more efficient service at noon. 5 in the morning, there's a line down the street like they're giving it away because there's one guy. I'm like, I don't know who does the scheduling here, but might I suggest, and again, I'm in radio, I don't know anything about running the Dunkin' Donuts, I might suggest larding up your schedule with staffing in the morning and then moving to a thinner schedule in the middle of the day. That's just, you know, Fast Eddie, I'm not a smart man and I don't know anything about running business, but that's me. I can tell today is a holiday because this morning, the one guy was all alone, and I was all alone with him.
That's good.
That's how I know it's a holiday. So
so there was no person. I mean, to be fair to the guy, sometimes there is a person in front of him who wants individually wrapped every variety type of donuts.
That's the problem. You get a high-maintenance person who thinks they're at a 5-star restaurant or something, who wants the donut, you know, they want to watch the donut being made. They're not satisfied that the donut on display is the donut. They want it handcrafted or something. They think it's artisanal donut. They want each filling a different flavor or some such thing. Right. And so, yeah, and it's, well, I won't get into too much of it, but I've been behind a few of those too. So anyway, that's how you can tell it's a holiday today. Anyway, but I know you're here and I'm glad that you are. I have to tell you, if you did not catch Friday's podcast, you're going to want to. I would love to play for you. I tip it sometimes when something is really, really good from the podcast, I'd play it for you. I can't do that today because it's not FCC compliant. I will give it an adult content warning. I will tell you that if you have young people around you and you should stream that podcast, the contents are they're of an adult nature featuring Colonel Kurt Schlichter. Now, to be fair to the Colonel, when I spoke to him, he reached out to me and he said, "I am ticked off. And I want to talk to somebody about it. Are you free?" And I said, "Are you kidding? I'll drop everything." When he calls me and says, "I got to talk," I said, "Clear the decks." I dropped everything I was doing Friday. And I said, "We're going to make time." That's never happened. I mean, I can tell when the Colonel's kind of ratcheted up on Twitter or whatever anyway. And I'll reach out to him from time to time. And I say, I can tell you're kind of fired up about this. Let's talk. When he specifically calls me and says, "I got to say something." Okay. So he asked me, he said, "Do I have to be FCC compliant?" I said, "Not here. Have at it." Some of you, that gets wound up. So I've now learned that I give you full warning in advance so that you know. So for some of you, you think it's just delightful. For others of you that are a little faint of heart, you won't want to have anything to do with Friday. I'll just warn you now. And it all surrounds what's going on in our nation's capital. He is not happy. Now, the Colonel is a guy who has commanded a few of our, and I forgive my ignorance of the nomenclature as it relates to deploying our guard in times of emergency. I don't know, battalion, I'm not sure of the names of the actual the names of the groups of movements, if you will. But the Colonel oversaw, I'll put it that way, the Colonel oversaw when men and women would be deployed en masse to scenes when needed. In California, he oversaw things like, for instance, during riots or wildfires, the Colonel was in charge of mass mobilization of troops to those scenes. Okay? In addition to when he was active duty, he obviously was stationed and served there too. But then in his civilian life, he's, you know, an attorney in Southern California, but is also part of the Guard. And so whenever there's emergency called of some kind in California, he's summoned to command these men and women to go into emergency situations. So he knows a lot about mobilizing troops into emergency situations. And I don't know that you would necessarily call what's going on in Washington an emergency, but mobilizing troops to be in place in case of an event. He called me and Cliff Note version. He said, "This is the most disgraceful thing I have ever seen in my life. This is a disgrace." He said, "What you're seeing on your television screen is a disgrace." And I asked him to explain. Now, again, these are, you know, United States Army's Colonel Kurt Schlichter's words, not mine. I've never served a minute. I don't know anything about what I'm talking about. I'm only relaying to you what the Colonel said. So if you have any questions about what I'm saying, you go listen to him in that podcast. I'm just trying to shorthand what he said to me. Fast Eddie, he said he's never seen such a shabby, I'm trying to really clean this up. His first problem with it, remember last week all the scenes of the men and women in fatigues laying around on the floor?
Yep, I remember that well.
That infuriated him. Infuriated him. He wants to know who the dumb SOB was. Who was in command that allowed a single picture to be taken of our men and women laying around on the floor of the United States Capitol like that? He said, because that was allowed to happen. It was purposely allowed to happen. And he wants to know who it was and why. And he said, why? And you'll note something happened over the weekend, and they made a very specific display of this happening after the colonel blew up. Now, I'm not saying it's because of the colonel, but I suspect many people like the colonel blew up about this, and it's why they made such a public display about it. If you happen to watch much news over the weekend, you will have seen since a lot of these men and women were issued cots. And you will have seen that all of these men and women were starting to set up cots to lay around on now instead of laying on the floor. Did you see any of that footage by chance over the weekend?
I did sparsely. Mm-hmm. Not in full description, but I saw it, yeah.
That is because people like Colonel Kurt Schlichter, their heads have been exploding, and they've been appearing on media all over the country in places like shows like mine. I mean, going nuclear over the disgraceful leadership of our ranking officers allowing our men and women to appear on camera laying on the floor. He said that's just not done. In no way is that acceptable, first of all. That should never have been allowable. Second, he said, have you seen the shape that these men and women are in? So I didn't really notice. I said, I mean, look at me. I'm, you know, trying to thin down on the new year. I said, but I'm not exactly, you know, glass houses and all, Kurt. He said, no, you're a civilian. I don't care. He went on to, I mean, it was not delicate. He said he's never seen such a poor physical appearance in the men and women that he saw on video as he did there. The weight, the girth, the physical appearance, the thickness of these men in uniform, it disgusted him. He could not believe how out of shape these people were. And he said it would never have flown when he was in command. It would not have been tolerated. He said it's absolutely outrageous. He said it does them no good. It doesn't. It speaks to readiness. It speaks to a thousand things. And it was disappointing and alarming and infuriating. And then, I mean, way down the list of all of his concerns was then the fact that he thinks it's all unnecessary and completely stupid to begin with, that they're even there in that volume. That was like the least. I mean, I actually thought when he was wound up that the least of his, his top concern was the fact that all of our resources were being flooded into D.C. like this. I thought that's where he was going. That was the least. That was bottom of his list. He was furious at the presentation of it. Through a military leader's eyes, what he's been watching on television as they've been setting up these barricades and laying around on the Capitol floor, he says it's the most disgraceful thing he's ever seen. He says he's ashamed of the United States military and the way they look at the Capitol right now. I mean, I was, yeesh. Now I'm, you know, again, never served. I have no place to comment. I have no insight or experience with it, so all I could do was sit back and listen. For a full perspective on what I'm talking about, you really have to listen to. I mean, I got so many comments on our podcast Friday from Schlichter. If you haven't heard it yet, I mean, he just both barrels blasts away. So after the show this morning, perhaps you load that thing up from chrisstigall.com and take a listen. He is. I mean, I don't know. Is that something? Did you notice that, Fast Eddie? That's probably not something civilians would even notice, but he was loaded for bear about how sloppy we looked and slovenly we looked. And he said China and other nations were laughing at us based on this appearance.
I did not. Those things specifically, I did not have an eye for. I thought that the media was overplaying their hand over the weekend with all of this. One. And two, and I don't know if this came up between you and Kurt, did coronavirus go away with all of those people gathered in the Congress hall? Like what kind of show of optics? Like, you're completely contradicting everything you've done to the American people over the past 9 months.
That's right. That's another great point. The barricades, setting up barricades blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks away from the Capitol. Now they're talking about, like, almost nobody showing up for inaugural this week. Like, nobody's even going to... And, you know, one wonders, I don't know. This year, these last 2 years, they're going to, you know, last year and then now heading into this year, it's enough to make you... I never in my life, I dismissed and discounted conspiracy theories. I was the furthest thing from it. I was always quick to say, don't walk me down conspiracy lane. I don't even want to talk about it. I'd swear to you, if I didn't know any better, you're setting up a scenario for Biden where, because they don't expect a crowd, they've created a reason to not have one. I mean, is this not the perfect setting for a guy who didn't run? You know, Seinfeld's the show about nothing. Biden's was the campaign about nothing. Biden didn't run. He ran no campaign from his basement. He's never left Wilmington. He's running as office of president-elect from Wilmington. He ran a campaign. He won, air quotes, from Wilmington. He came out and waved for the cameras as president-elect from Wilmington. He's given his speeches from Wilmington. They're setting up all the barricades for blocks and blocks and blocks from every direction from Wilmington. And then he's going to depart from Wilmington to give his speech where no one can see it. If you told me Joe Biden were a hologram, it wouldn't surprise me. If you told me Joe Biden has been dead and his head was in a jar for the last 6 months, it wouldn't surprise me. I swear to you, if you told me he was Ted Williams and his head was on ice and he's not even alive, it wouldn't surprise me. Like, he's an animatron.
There is something exceptionally weird about everything.
Right?
Over the last few months.
It's something just doesn't even feel real.
Yeah.
It just feels... I can't even put my finger on it, and I don't even mean it's duplicitous, necessarily. Now, I know some of you go to dark places. I don't even mean dark. I just mean this feels like a theater. We're watching some kind of play acting, the likes of which we've never seen. And it started with, it started with coronavirus. COVID really in March is what all started, the whole thing. And it continued with mail-in voting, and it's just been a downhill sled ever since. Anyway, 610-850-0990, the number. 610-850-0990. We got a lot to get to today, folks. Ralph Cipriano is back. Local media was hyper-obsessed with potential violence at our state's capitals. Dover, they were live in Dover. They were live at Trenton. They were live in Harrisburg. Awaiting violence. Any moment now, violence. Let's go live to Chopper This and Chopper That. No kidding. They went to Chopper This and Chopper That. We're flying over the scene at Chopper This and Chopper That. And what would they show? There's two people walking with a flag. I'm not kidding. There was a live shot of two protesters with an American flag. Protesters walking with a flag. Two. That was an actual, honest-to-God shot last night on TV. Meanwhile, actually, people are dying. There is real violence happening, but not at our state's capital, Philadelphia, where people are being gunned down regularly. Ralph Cipriano from BigTrial.net will be here to discuss it. There's lots to get to today, folks. Sit tight. 620 Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer.
Tune in to The Larry Elder Show featuring yours truly at 6 p.m. on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Do you want to know what all this is about, really? Very simply, what it all boils down to? I think you know. I mean, it's pretty easy to understand, actually, and we've all kind of talked about it already, but Jake Tapper kind of lets it out of the bag in just one little sentence. He's talking to former Trump National Security Advisor, Philadelphia native H.R. McMaster, over the weekend. And Jake Tapper very agitatedly, very concerned, very worried, hand-wringingly lets it eke out what really worries him. And if you were to boil everything down to its essence, what we're watching, what the capital buildup is, what the coverage is, what the talk about Trump's supporters are, what the, you know, Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, has just been kicked out of another fundraiser. The Lowe's hotel chain has already, Hawley was supposed to have a Senate fundraiser, I think, in Florida. Not sure where it was held, but the Lowe's hotel has already said, no, we don't want your fundraiser held here. So all these private companies that are now saying we don't want to do business with any politician that had anything to do with objecting with the, to the certification of the Electoral College results that day. It's all done for one reason. What is it before I play it? What is it before I tell you? It's actually pretty easy. I mean, we've already identified it. We talked about it last week. You know the answer, Fast Eddie? Why is it all, if you were to boil it down to its very simple essence, why is all of this done? If you were to just one simple, easy sentence.
I think it would be to censor opposition.
Yes, but so censor opposition, but what very specific kind of opposition?
Any related to Trump?
That's right. To make sure that Donald Trump never, ever, Donald Trump specifically, but any Donald Trump-related or Donald Trump-themed opposition ever rises again. Anything to do with Donald Trump, any Donald Trump-related, any Donald Trump-themed, any tangentially tied Donald Trump associates, nothing related to Donald Trump populism, no Donald Trump delivered talk will ever be tolerated again. You will operate within the bounds and confines of polite, tolerated, traditional bureaucratic speech. You're on notice. If you do anything related to Trump era politics, you will be vanquished. Just listen to the desperate, almost crying, simpering admission from Jake Tapper.
That ought to bolster our confidence.
He might run again, though. He might run again. Would you support him running again?
He might run again. He might run again.
That ought to bolster our confidence.
He might run again, though. He might run again. Would you?
So what? You puss? So the hell what, you simpering panty waste of a human being? He claims to be an Eagles fan, a Philadelphian? What a panty waste of a human. I'm more a Philadelphian than this blow-dried fake. I didn't even grow up here, and I'm tougher than this fraud any day of the week.
He might run again. I'm Jake Tapper. I'm very afraid. I'm scared. He might run again. I can't handle it.
What these people are admitting is they have to shut Donald Trump up because they can't take him on. Donald Trump has to be silenced and banished, and everybody that's associated with him has to shut. They have to be shut down and buried. Because they're too afraid to debate them. Giving them space, giving them oxygen, giving them a platform, allowing them to be heard is too frightening. There are too many people in this country that connect with him, and that can't stand. Which means Parler has to be taken down, which means Josh Hawley must be stopped, which means you have to be shut up and shamed and told that you're a terrorist. Or potentially, if you side with it, that's what's going on here.
That ought to bolster our confidence.
He might run again, though. He might run again. Would you support him running again?
No, Jake, I don't support anybody. I mean, any individual. But of course, I think it would be terribly divisive for our country for him to him to run again. What we need to do is we need to analyze what the heck happened, right? We've been talking about the president's responsibility, but it didn't start there, right? This loss of confidence, these large portions of our population which feel disenfranchised, that lack confidence in our common identity as Americans, who lack confidence in our democratic principles and institutions and processes. How do
I mean, good for McMaster for saying that. I mean, wouldn't you love for Jake Tapper to have to answer it? I mean, it's a lovely sentiment McMaster's offering up. Does Jake Tapper have to answer for that? I would like to put Jake Tapper on the defensive. Jake, do you think this started with Trump? Do you think Trump happened in a vacuum? This is the thing that I, you know, 4 years ago when Trump was elected, I wrote a column to my Obama-supporting friends, and I said, you know, the way you feel this morning, the crushing, dispiriting, deflated, oh my God, I can't believe this happened, what the hell's gone wrong, that feeling you're having, I get it, I understand, I know that feeling. I felt it 8 years ago. But let me tell you something, I swear to you, on a stack of Bibles, if I ever get the sense that this president does to you what this president of the last 8 years has done to this country, I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with you in opposing him. That's what I pledged in a column that I wrote. And the fact of the matter is Donald Trump didn't do diddly squat to any American in this country. He didn't do diddly squat to anybody, but frankly just improve and better the lives of individual Americans. He didn't do anything to anybody. Whereas Barack Obama very consequentially did real tangible harm to Americans and sowed tremendous division in the process. Real division. Barack Obama was constantly sowing seeds of division. And people like Jake Tapper have these, you know, sugar plum fairy memories of Barack Obama's presidency as something unifying and beautiful. It most certainly was not. Donald Trump, I think himself at some point, I think it was even during a debate this last year, said, I'm here because of you. I'm president because of you. Do you not understand I'm here because of you? They don't. They really don't get it. They think that this happened in a vacuum. Donald Trump couldn't exist if Barack Obama hadn't have happened. That doesn't compute with them then. You know that? I mean, like the American left doesn't even make sense, that statement to them. They don't get it. They don't see Barack Obama as a divisive figure.
How did that happen? Jake, I write about this a lot in Battlegrounds. We need to look at education and civics education, a sense of our history and who we are. We have to look at your profession, Jake, the media.
Oh.
You know, why is it that people who lean in one direction politically watch one cable news station, some who lean in another direction watch yours or another one? Why do people go to the pseudo-media and believe these kind of conspiracy theories? What is the role that social media plays in further polarizing our society and pitting us against each other? We have a lot of work to do, Jake, and we have to do it, you know, as Ron has said, in a bipartisan, nonpartisan manner. And that's what all of us can expect of our institutions and expect of our political leadership as well.
Okay. Yeah, Jake bears no responsibility. He doesn't contemplate for a second he bears any responsibility. His network bears no responsibility. 4 years of his network and their lies and their bilge and their propaganda and their hostility. He bears no responsibility. There is no inward looking. There's no reflection. None. None. We bear no responsibility, thinks Jake Tapper. Blah, 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 he's thinking. He might run again.
That ought to bolster our confidence.
He might run again, though. He might run again. Would you?
Yeah, and you're still going to be on TV, you blow-dried fraud. He might run again. Yeah, and in 4 years, you're still going to be on TV, lying as you always have. Like, he may run again. He may run again. Yeah, and while we wait to decide whether or not he's going to run again, you're still going to be there every damn day. For the next 4 years, you're not going anywhere. You know, Trump will go away. You're still going to be in our homes every day. He may run again. It's a shame. He's one of the more disappointing disgraces. Just a vacuous human being who used to actually care about journalism and then became so intoxicated with himself and the American left. It became sexier to be held up by lunatics on the left than to actually do journalism. Joe Biden ran a campaign no one attended, rallies no one attended, gave speeches no one attended, had a big victory party no one attended. He's going to have an inauguration no one attended. Got the most votes in the history of the presidency, though.
It's Mike Gallagher. Join me this morning at 9 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
I'm serious. If I told you that Joe Biden was a hologram, CGI, if I could prove it to you somehow, would it shock you?
No. I've seen, like, Roy Orbison going on tour as a hologram. I'm dead serious.
I know. Like, would it be that shocking? It wouldn't be that hard. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to literally put Joe Biden CGI'd in anything that we've seen him in. I'm kind of serious. I don't mean that I literally think that. I'm just saying, given how limited his appearances are and the places he's been seen, would it be stunning in today's 21st century technological advancement? Would it be stunning to hear if I said it's all been a hologram? Kamala Harris is actually running everything. Like, would you go, oh my God, I never saw that coming? Joe Biden actually died 7 years ago. I'd go, okay, that actually makes sense. Like, I don't feel insane. Barack Obama and Kamala Harris have been running everything. I would go, aha, well, okay, thank you. At least now the sinister plot has been exposed, and we now all understand who our dark overlords really are. That, like, I would feel a sense of, whew, okay, I'm not insane. The old man didn't really win. Just really, really Machiavellian, sinister people played us really well, and the media duly covered their asses. I that's all I would want. I would love it, actually. It would bring me a sense of peace. I would go, okay, bravo, great showbiz. It's just so hard for me to deal with the fact that he's a reality at all. I can't, not just because I don't, like, Barack Obama was tough for me to deal with, but he was 100% real. His politics were just disturbing to me. You know, and I understand that the left hates Donald Trump, but there was no question Donald Trump was real. Donald Trump's all too real to them. He's in their dreams. Donald Trump lives in their head every moment of every day. I literally don't even think of Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the most forgetful, most powerful man in the world. I've never thought of a president so much in my life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I've never thought so little of someone elected president ever. Since I've been paying attention to politics, I've never thought less of the person running, now about to hold the office. I don't think of him as a powerful, significant person. Someone more than a few times I've heard someone say or make the statement. Different people have made the statement. Well, you know, boy, if Joe Biden, you know, once upon a time, Joe Biden really could have ... Or, well, you know, if Joe Biden is made of the stuff, he could probably stave this off or that off. Or when people talk about the hard left of his party and, you know, this isn't really who Joe Biden is. If he can rise up and, you know, there was a time politically, Joe Biden, he didn't stand with this sort of thing. But I'm not sure he's made of the stuff anymore to... So every time I hear that, I think of an old man being abused. I literally imagine Kamala Harris sitting behind the Resolute desk and Joe Biden sitting in one of those couches in front of it, you know, having a hard candy or a chocolate bar or something, and she just says, shut up, and maybe they kind of hit him a little bit. I really picture elder abuse. And, like, they shove him out in front of cameras to do what he's supposed to. And then he just shut up, you. We'll take it from here. I swear to you.
Yes, and not to take you off that point, but it's that exchange with Tapper and McMaster is very, very telling, because I remember watching CNN the night that it was just after George Floyd was killed, and there are protesters breaching CNN. I mean, throwing like fireworks and everything inside the building. And you mean to tell me that what happened at the Capitol scared Jake Tapper more than CNN's headquarters literally being breached by an angry mob? I'm just like, it doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem real.
I know. Yeah. All right. 610-850-0990. Monday, back at it. Chris is there. I'm glad you called. Chris, what's on your mind on this Monday morning? How you doing, sir?
Oh, God bless you, Chris. Just the hypocrisy of this entire situation amazes me. Here we've heard nothing but defund the police, the disdain for our enlisted men, and the knee-jerk reaction of these weak-kneed politicians in Washington is what? Bring in 400 million troops and mobilize every police officer in the world to come in and protect. Why didn't they send in a couple thousand social workers and therapists to talk with all these, quote, protesters and talk them out of it? Isn't it amazing when they make these laws and make these statements, it's for everyone else. But when they feel harmed, I want the biggest guns pointing at these people coming at me.
It's true. And they made a big point of the guns. Did you hear any of those reports this weekend? They made a big point of bringing in the guns. I think 60 Minutes did that last night, if memory serves.
You know, Chris, I turn off all of this. I turn all this media off now. I was sitting on the couch enjoying the late afternoon, and I turn on CNN for about 1.3 minutes, and it is 100% pure hatred of Trump and anyone associated with him. And that was just that 1.3 minutes. I'm sure it's all day long. And I don't understand how these people could look in the mirror at the end of each day and say, man, that was a good day's work.
Yeah. Great points, Chris. 60 Minutes last night, I think it was, I was watching a little of football last night. Oh, Mahomes gave us quite a scare yesterday. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Apparently concussion-free, though. Not a concussion.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
I think he's going to be all right to play on Sunday. But 60 Minutes runs those promos, you know. Coming up, why President Trump is awful. A 60 Minutes investigation. You know, a follow-up to last week's 60 Minutes investigation. More on why Trump's awful. Every football Sunday, it's, you know, Leslie Stahl with her follow-up investigation, why Trump's awful and why you're awful for supporting him tonight on 60 Minutes. Plus, the Penguins. You know, there's like one thing that's kind of lighthearted, you know.
It's like injecting climate change into the debate.
That's right. Yeah. There's always it's 48 minutes of why you're awful, why half the country's awful, and then, yeah, some human interest story why the planet's rotting. You're also awful, but not directly responsible. But it was Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., and how disconcerting it was, and how, oh, she was so upset to see all these troops that just had to, there was just no choice, you see. They had no choice. All these military men and women had to come pouring into D.C. They had but no choice, and they had to arm them. That they made a very specific point of showing how they had to arm up, bring in the guns, and they were showing these men and women being armed, showing them issuing the rifles, loading the rifles off the truck and handing them to the men and women in the fatigues. They were making this point and asking the mayor of D.C., what does it say? Scott Pelley chewing on his glasses, you know, because when Scott Pelley, the haughty, H-A-U-G-H-T-Y, Scott Pelley, I have glasses, and I take them off, and I chew on the end of them. I use them as a prop because I come from an era where I still think that people take me more seriously when I remove my spectacles and chew on the end of them. This makes me
look like a theatrical Edward R. Murrow Cronkite newsman. Good Lord. I mean, did they, it's such a care. It's a cartoon. Pelly, what do you think? It's 1960. Like, the internet is a thing now. We're not doing that anymore. It's not, you know, it's, he still thinks he's talking about JFK being assassinated or something in his mind. Chewing on the glasses, removing them on and off. Removes them, chewing on the, what does it say about our fellow Americans? What does it say, Mayor? The bottom jaw. And then the mayor says, oh, it's just, she's so sick with hurt, and that it just, it hurts her so that they have to issue weaponry that it might have to be used as a show of force against fellow Americans. Oh. The theater, I mean, we are living through some of the all-time greatest media government theatrics you've ever watched, ever. We've never seen theatrics like this, ever. I mean, this is like unlike anything we've ever seen before. And Michael Beschloss, a guy I really like a lot. I've always really liked him a lot. Presidential historian. I've never even really known him to be particularly political or partisan. Literally on Twitter and social media, all he does is go, here's a picture of Ike and Mamie from 1950 having some duck over at Winston Churchill's house. It's like just interesting pictures. That's all he tweets, you know. Over the weekend, he says, hey, does anybody know with all this military buildup, Trump can't control these people, can he? I'll have to go get the tweet. It was something like, hey, Trump can't, like, call these guys up and do something, can he? I'm not kidding. A presidential historian on NBC openly surmising, can Trump marshal the United States military to, like, seize the town and stay in power? Lunatics. This is Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Hey, did you hear, you white women are the problem now too? That's right, ladies. If you thought you suburban cracker ladies were going to get away with it, think again. All your virtue signaling last year with your black squares. No, ma'am. You're not out of the woods yet. Got to go find that Bill Burr Saturday Night Live from last year. That was good stuff.
Your opinion matters. Take the poll at 990theanswer.com. Sponsored by Stillman Volvo. Four generations in Westchester. Online at stillmanvolvocars.com.
Okay, so a lot of you have asked me about Jesse Morgan. Remember the guy who had the pallets of ballots in the back of his truck that went missing? We've got a follow-up on that story today. Yes, we follow up on stuff like that.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. You live here, he lives here.
Thank you for helping my family and I get through these very strange times.
Can I just say how much I am enjoying your new show? Really good. You are loved.
I appreciate you, Chris. You're doing a great, great service to Delaware Valley.
Yeah, I do. I know a lot of weed smokers.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
You know, not for nothing, but every time I hear about a new arrest related to Wednesday, not what, two weeks ago Wednesday, the Capitol building situation, I saw the mugshots of three more people over the weekend. They always flash them up there. It was a local news story. I saw three more arrested this weekend. They all look like certified lunatics. I mean, lunatics. They don't look like your next-door neighbor or something.
like, you know, giant holes in their heads and sprayed hair and bug-eyed, and they look like lunatics. And they never tell you anything about them other than, you know, Eddie Chiasso, age 34.
Oh, there's no nuance to the story.
And it's like, well, wait, whoa, I want more. Who, you know, he was attended the Trump rally. Wait, who? Tell me more. Like, I'm just supposed to believe that the wild-eyed, holes-in-the-head, spray-painted hair, lunatic in the mugshot, because he was there and arrested, is a Trump supporter? Like, we don't get to know anything more about these people. I want to know more. See, I don't understand. Well, I do understand. I'm asking rhetorically, folks. I'm one of these silly people who likes knowing lots. I want to know all the stuff. Give me more things to know. I don't want to know less things. I don't want to know only some of the things. Give me all the things to know and let me figure out what's important. How about you tell me everything? Don't just tell me the guy's name or where he lives. Don't just tell me that the guy was at the thing or in the building and where he lives. Tell me where he came from. What's his background? Who's he associated with? Did he vote for Trump? I want to know everything about him. Did his social media posts say he planned something? Do we know he voted for Trump? Did his family know? Like, I want to know these things. They matter to me. Because I know millions of Trump voters did not do these awful things that day. I have lots and lots of Trump friends and family and neighbors who didn't do awful things and wouldn't do awful things that day. So a few bad people did some bad things on that day, and I want to know what makes them tick. Don't we all? Shouldn't we all learn what makes people like this misbehave? I want to know. But they never want to tell you that. They just want to leave it just to, it's just, oh, here's Dave Williams from Tulsa, Oklahoma, age 38, arrested. Wait, though, what about Dave? Is Dave a ticking time bomb? Did he talk to friends and neighbors? Do we know that Dave had a social life? Is Dave nuts? Has Dave ever voted? Does Dave hate Trump? Does Dave like Trump? Do we know? Nope, Dave was there. He had to be a Trump supporter. Like, that's all they want you to know. They just want you to know that Dave was there that day. That's it. So Dave must have been a Trump supporter. You see? It's not responsible, and they know it's not responsible. They want to just leave you with the impression that everyone rounded up and arrested is all part of the same story. They're all just citizens who got together on a day and decided to storm the Capitol on behalf of President Trump. It's wrong. It's a lie. And are we really supposed to believe what they're telling us at this hour, that the country is basically on lockdown and that we have more to fear and be concerned about at this hour from Trump supporters? Trump supporters are more dangerous and potentially hostile and brimming with rage. We've got to be more on guard from you Trump supporters than this country's more on heightened alert than it's ever been from anything else. I don't think we've been on this heightened of an alert during, like I said, Islamists. I mean, guys have driven down sidewalks with box trucks and mowed over people, and we haven't been on this heightened alert. Those are lone wolf incidents, you know. Guys have flown planes into buildings. We haven't been on this heightened alert. We watched whole cities burn all last summer. We haven't been on this heightened alert. But one day, an incident at the Capitol, and the whole country, all our state's capitals, we're all on edge. Everyone's on heightened alert because the whole country is full of Yosemite Sam Trump supporters just with itchy trigger fingers in fatigues. You know, every Gary Busey-esque Trump supporter, wild-eyed, waiting, sitting in their basement, waiting to strike. That's what they want you to think. But then you understand this. Telephone number 610-850-0990. All right, shifting to our pal at BigTrial.net. He's Ralph Cipriano, where it's funny. I watched local news just yesterday. I think it was CBS3. Their big top-of-the-hour story. Good evening. Chopper 3 live over the state capitol in Dover, where we've been monitoring, waiting violence. Potential violence. Right now, we see two people with an American flag walking. Any moment, though, violence. Maybe violence. Possibly violence. We're sure violence. Let's go live to Harrisburg, where I'm sure there'll be violence. Maybe violence. No? Well, all right, how about violence? Let's go to Chopper, whatever. Over Trenton, where I'm sure there's violence. Political Trump violence. Any moment. There's a couple of people, but they seem to be just holding hands. But violent any time now. Ticking time bomb violence. Philadelphia's news here on it for you. Over the capitals for violence. Coverage of the violence ahead of the inauguration. Violence. Meanwhile, people are continuing to drop like flies in Philadelphia all around them. People are being shot and killed all around the local news, and they're looking for the Trump violence. Ralph, I can't make it up. I mean, it's literally the way local news is doing business these days. Good morning.
How are you, Chris?
I'm fine. Am I being unfair in my assessment? That's the way I look at it.
You are not. And after listening to you, I'm afraid to go out. I don't want to get attacked by any crazy Trumpsters.
That's right. Yeah, don't worry. I'm sure when you go out walking your dog, it's a Trump voter you have to fear more than, whoever else might shoot you in cold blood.
Exactly.
Actually,
we've got more to worry instead of the Trumpsters. We should be worried by whoever Larry Krasner just let out of jail.
Right. In all sincerity, and it is no laughing matter, it continues to be, it's another deadly, sad story of another, gentleman just out literally walking his dog and there's video of this guy, too. It's like, I don't know if it was an attempted robbery. It's on video, and oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's an attempted robbery. It's pretty gruesome to watch. Very sad. You're right. Horrible.
And is it? I mean, are you to a point where you're saying it's daily? Is it almost daily? An almost daily occurrence now? Weekly for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, every day, as Carlos Vega, who's running for DA, says, every day a mom gets a knock on her door and finds out that her child's been murdered. So, yeah, it is a daily occurrence. And in this case, we've got a guy, Mr. Josephus, who should have never been out on the streets. I mean, he was a twice convicted felony robber. He also had been arrested for a carjacking while he was in jail. He assaulted a prison guard and got jammed up for that. And then all of a sudden, 2 days for Christmas, we're letting him out of jail, dropping his bail from 100,000 to 20,000, and he's out on the street. And 2 weeks later, he kills this poor dog walker.
I'm not familiar with the law, how it works this way, Ralph. But I mean, does the family of this poor man? Do you think they have any legal recourse? I mean, have we seen this yet? Have families who have lost loved ones at the hands of these criminals, people like Krasner, have let free? Have they lawyered up and gone at Krasner over things like this?
I know that there are several discussions going on. I know that the officer, Corporal O'Connor, who was, gunned down by people Krasner let out of jail, his family was discussing such a wrongful death lawsuit. But, I'm not aware of any that have been successful. I've heard a lot of talk about that. I do wonder whether the dog walker has a case or not, his family anyway.
I wonder if that turns the tide. I know you're not a legal expert here, and so maybe you can't speak to it, but I wonder if ultimately it's going to have to take that to make a DA be brought to heel a little bit or be more thoughtful about who they let out.
I am wondering that myself. I mean, how many of these stories, Chris, do we have to do, you know, before somebody, I mean, how many people have to die before somebody, before the local media starts saying, wow, this Larry Krasner guy, he sure lets a lot of violent people out of jail. And he's always, you know, his office doesn't care about the public, doesn't care about crime victims. I mean, he just exists to coddle criminals and do favors for them. And as a result, we have a lot of violent people wandering the streets of Philadelphia, you know, creating mayhem. I'm wondering what it's going to take myself.
Ralph Cipriano's at BigTrial.net. Carlos Vega is, he is a Democrat, but he's really the only meaningful rival that stepped forward to challenge Larry Krasner. The primary is really just around the corner.
May 18th.
That's coming fast.
Yep.
What are you hearing? Is that a legitimate run? I mean, I guess he has some ground support. The money is always, of course, an issue. Do people know his name? Does he have time?
It's been. I've been surprised by it. First of all, I think the publicity rollout over his campaign has been overwhelmingly positive because, you know, people are so upset about what Krasner's doing. I understand that in a few weeks, Mr. Vega was able to raise something like $120,000. And I know that, he's picking up support in a lot of places. I think basically, you know, it's a disaster here. We need help. So, Carlos looks pretty good to me.
I've never cheered harder for a Democrat, I'll tell you. Local media, I must confess, I don't watch a lot of local television news anyway. Are they aware of him? Are they covering him? I can't imagine local media is enamored with Krasner. Are they? Or are they? I don't even know how they treat him anymore, to be honest.
Well, we've got a bad situation in that, you know, in these little media pools like Philadelphia, you know, the daily newspaper sets the tone. And the Philadelphia Inquirer has bent over backwards, as you know, to protect Larry Krasner. And, for instance, they wouldn't print any of Vega's critical remarks about Krasner regarding this dog walker case, you know, and they just printed what Larry Krasner and his spokesperson Jane Rowe had to say to them. Those are two people, by the way, that haven't talked to me in 18 months. They know, you know, they might get a tough question if I talk to them. So they head to their friends at the Inquirer. So in the TV stations, from what I've seen, have not been overly critical of Krasner at all. But, I mean, with the primary campaign on the horizon and, you know, 499 dead Philadelphians last year, it's really the time for the news media to dig into this and start doing their job.
Well, for instance, last night, this literally happened last night after a football game. I just happened to be watching CBS 3. I wouldn't have ordinarily ever have been watching it, but CBS 3 was on, and I just stayed with it. And they opened with this lengthy nothing of a story about how our state's capitals were all, you know, being heavily guarded and watched for potential violence, ticking time bombs and whatnot, even though nothing was happening. And once we got through 15 minutes of crickets and nothing, really, they finally got to the lead story of a dead man, a dead dog walker, who had been shot by this guy. And they showed the video. And then after they told that story, they moved on. And what they did not tell is exactly what you've shared here. And I think to myself, as a news organization, how do you not share that component of the story? What a significant part of that story. That is news. That is news. It's not even editorializing. It is news that that man was a convicted felon, that he was in police custody and was released by our district attorney. Like, that matters. And the people watching CBS 3 and I presume any other news station that reported that story, Philadelphians deserve to hear that. And if you're not going to tell that story, then you're not a Philadelphia news organization.
Totally agree, and especially with a guy like Krasner, he's we know his record. I mean, there's a string of people, dangerous criminals that he's let out of jail. My favorite was the two-time killer that he let out of jail over a $25 unpaid traffic ticket, and the feds had to go out and arrest this guy, re-arrest this guy. So, yeah, there's a demonstrated history here. You've got a primary in May, and then you've got a very vocal, very capable career prosecutor, homicide prosecutor, challenging Krasner. And, you know, it's time to get the debate started. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I agree with you, Chris. The political media ain't much. Thank God we've got you, you know? So,
well, you look, you do the heavy lifting. I appreciate you saying so. I'm just so grateful you do the real digging. We're just happy that you're able to make time for us, Ralph. At bigtrial.net, if you're a Philadelphian and you want real, you know, digging, Ralph does it all the time. Bigtrial.net. Ralph, thank you for your time, sir, as always. We'll have you back.
Chris, it's a pleasure. Listen, is Harrisburg in flames while we're talking?
We're going to continue to monitor it. Right now, as I have it, I'm monitoring it live. We've got 990 Chopper live over the scene, and there's a guy having coffee. I can report now. But he looks menacing.
I see. Okay, well, stay on it.
I will. On it for you.
Please depend on you.
For you. Thank you, Ralph. Thank me. It's 619. Telephone number 610-850-0990. As we take a look. No, traffic's coming up with John Butterworth. A quick break here on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. A menacing man with coffee in Harrisburg.
Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. This is Dennis Prager, middays 1 to 3. Grab a cup of coffee for the ride in. You're listening to Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle.
Shocking new footage from inside the Capitol siege on CNN. Long time coming. Reckoning with race in America over on MSNBC. They'd better hurry and get this in. It's like, this is like the fourth quarter on the left, you know. Time is ticking. Like, this is the worst time, because once the hologram is sworn in, you know, inauguration is coming here. What is it? Is it tomorrow?
I guess the 20th.
The 20th. I don't.
Yeah, two days. Two Wednesday.
Days. I swear to you, I'm not paying a bit of attention.
Wall-to-wall coverage.
I hate admitting it. I'm not even paying attention. I literally don't care. Troops are stationed. They're setting up walls. He's not leaving Wilmington ever. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just inaugurated right there in Wilmington. He may not, like, they may just build like a Oval Office, you know, like a facsimile Oval Office in Wilmington. He just does everything there. You know, like, I watched the, I can't help it, one of those movies that always comes on cable is the Ocean's 11, you know?
Yep.
I just love those movies. I didn't like Ocean's 12. 11 and 13 are fantastic. I just love them.
Oh, 13 was good?
I loved it myself. Oh. I mean, some people may not have, but I personally just adored Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 13. Ocean's 12 was, but they build a facsimile of the vault that they're trying to break into, and they videotape a whole vault scene that they rob, so that when they're actually robbing the vault, the security people are shown a videotape of a vault that they've made to look like the actual vault while they're robbing the real vault. I fully expect that. That's what they've done in Wilmington. They've just made they've built an Oval Office in Wilmington where Biden will just pretend to be president there while Kamala is actually in Washington. That's what I'm kidding, folks. Sort of. 610-850-0990. Let's go to Fred in Ardmore. Hey, Fred.
Good morning. This is not meant to be cruel, but it's trying to get a light to go on somewhere. I would like to ask all the people that have lost, that have a family that are crime victims, whether murder, robbery, in Philadelphia, Chicago, and then all the people that were going to be victimized by all these illegal aliens they're going to let in, if they voted Democrat. Because if they do, what are they complaining about? This is what they voted for. I wonder, do they ever think about this stuff?
Hard to argue. It really is hard to argue. It's an interesting thing. The violence in Philadelphia, in particular, I always thought to myself, and it's Pollyanna, I suppose. I've had this question in my mind forever, and I've asked serious people. What does it take to go into Philadelphia and talk to people in Philadelphia neighborhoods and say, a lot of your brothers and sisters, your friends and neighbors and people that you love are dying. They're dropping dead. What do I have to say to you to get you to vote for me to change the way we're doing business here instead of you continuing to vote for them? How can I win you over? And I'm not smart enough. I'm not sophisticated enough politically. I don't really understand. I sincerely don't understand what makes, I don't know what that bond is. I don't know what that loyalty is. I don't know. I really don't understand it. I don't know if it's strictly racial. I don't know if a white guy can't do it and it's going to take a black guy. I don't know. And maybe it is that simple. Maybe it's going to take a black man. Maybe it's going to take a black man who calls himself a Democrat who's really not. I'd like to believe not. I mean, I want to believe in the better angels of people, that they just, it's not about race, but maybe it is. Maybe people are just more comfortable with people that look like them. I know we're not supposed to say that, and I know, that's antithetical to what we believe as Americans, but yeah. I know it's a very frustrating question, Fred. One, it's a nut that I have certainly never cracked. Aaron Rodgers last week didn't get to this. He was on the Barstool Sports, I guess it's a podcast they do. A guy called Pat McAfee does a show. And Dave Portnoy, also from here originally, who created Barstool Sports, they call him El Presidente. He created something called the Barstool Fund. And it's basically meant to help small businesses. It's a great idea. He basically developed it to hand out loans to small business owners, men and women, throughout this coronavirus lockdown. Aaron Rodgers, who will be in the divisional playoff, the NFC divisional playoff next week. That's going to be a fun game to watch. Rodgers versus Brady, finally. That'll be a fun matchup.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I think Rodgers takes that, don't you?
I do, but I'm kind of hoping for Tampa Bay.
Really?
Just, yeah, I'd like them to, and I know I shouldn't because of what they did to us in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool seeing Brady, seeing how far he can take this.
It is. I tell you, it's an impressive, I selfishly root for Brady only because I'm Brady's age. I love to watch a guy that's my age still doing it. I'm like, that just makes me feel, not that I could come close to doing what he does. It just makes me feel, I still feel like, all right, okay. See, I'm not that old. Yeah, he can still do it. But at any rate, so Rodgers donated $500,000 to this Dave Portnoy Barstool Fund. And he goes on this Pat McAfee show, asked about the donation, and talked specifically, they started talking a little bit about California specifically, and Pelosi and Newsom came out. Now, I think Rodgers is a left winger. He used to date that Olivia Munn, who's a very attractive woman, but an extremely left wing crazy. I mean, just a lunatic crazy leftist. And I think Rodgers is a leftist too. But when it came to Newsom and Pelosi, he didn't pull any punches.
With the Barstool Fund is life-changing money. It's sustainability for these people. And I think that's the thing that you gravitate towards the most, is just not having a reliance on the government to help you out, because obviously they've shown that's not going to be the way they're going to do it. I mean, they've put these rules in place. They're not even following their own rules. I mean, how many people have gotten caught? Don't travel. Don't leave the state. Oh, here's so-and-so on a vacation. Oh. Don't go get a haircut. Oh, here's so-and-so at a salon. Don't eat out at a restaurant, you know, unless you're wearing a mask and separate. Oh, here's a picture of the governor of California violating those rules. Oh, public schools are closed, but I can send my kids to a private school, in-person school. And it's like, I mean, for us to count on the government to help us out is becoming a joke at this point. So what's happening is guys like Dave and his staff and all the amazing people who've donated money, this is people helping people. This is money going directly to save businesses. A lot of these have been in business for 10, 20, 30, 50, 95 years, one of them. And you watch these videos, how can you not be moved by the work they're doing? I mean, you're putting a face to all these names and where the money's going, and it's just so exciting. So
I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's a guy, again, shaking the cobwebs out of his head a little bit politically. It's an interesting thing. Talking about not being able to depend on the government. You can't count on the government. The government's becoming a joke. And then pointing out how they're hypocrites at that. Interesting commentary from a very high-profile NFL star. I don't know. Maybe they'll run him out of there for...
He'll get fined.
I was going to say, that's not the kind of talk... You're not allowed to... Probably have to take two knees this Sunday for that.
Now we're talking about domestic audience in the United States. And the challenge is going to be partially that, you know, ISIS did not have a domestic constituency in the United States Congress. But there is over half of the Republicans in Congress voted to overturn the election. And there will be a continual political pressure on the companies to not take it seriously. So I think first, you have to focus on those violent extremists, and those companies have to be brave in that way. And second, we have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN, and they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem. You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes. This is, you know, allowing people to seek out information if they really want to, but not pushing it into their faces, I think is where we're going to have to go here.
That was a remarkable, real conversation on an actual, quote, news network. Some guy called Alex Stamos. I don't think any relation to John Stamos. Certainly not nearly as in shape. I've seen the video. No, that was an actual conversation with the supposed media ombudsman of CNN, Brian Stelter, having an out loud conversation, saying the quiet parts out loud, saying things that typically you would find leftists saying quietly, now just brazenly out loud. We've got to do something about all these people who have these prominent voices in social media, YouTube channels and Facebook followings and Twitter followings and social media followings. We got to do something about this. In some cases, some of these people have more viewers and watchers and followers than CNN has viewers. Oh, no! And Comcast allows it. And Verizon allows it. And AT&T allows it. And we've got to do something about it. Oh, we do we, Mr. Stamos? Well, of course, what we're talking about is censorship. And, you know, when you do this sort of thing, there's a lot of collateral damage beyond politics. We hear about it in stories like Gretchen Smith's. She's the founder of a group called Code of Vets. She's an Air Force veteran. And we heard about her story when it comes to social media censorship. She joins us now. Ms. Smith, thanks so much for your time this morning. Hi.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
So what does this mean to your group? And first of all, before we get into that, why don't you tell us about Code of Vets, if you please?
Well, we are one of a kind. We operate purely on social media platforms, primarily Twitter. So basically, you could say that we are a veteran org 501c3 operating on Twitter platform to raise awareness about the crisis that we go through, the day-to-day issues, financial issues, veterans in need. We raise funds for them, and we are incredibly effective at it. We've set up a system that works, and no one's ever done it before. And it's absolutely beautiful to watch it grow and explode. And it's all based on the inspiration of my dad. He's my airborne hero. I lost my dad in his battle with PTSD. He never did get the help that he needed, Chris. And I wanted to do something to honor him.
That's remarkable. And as I read it, you have first of all, you've kept operating costs extremely marginal, very low, which is, you know, that's something that many people, when they give to charities, they like to know, you know, operating costs. Yours are slim, very slim, 2% or less. And you've raised over $2 million, which is really impressive.
Yeah, it's amazing. Last year alone, it's going to be roughly right around the $2.5 million mark in December. I'm still crunching numbers with the CPA firm, but it's looking like it's in between $700,000 and $800,000 just for that one month. We had an explosive month, so it was absolutely beautiful for the veterans, and we're just pushing the money out as quickly as we can get these vets processed through the system. So I'm telling you, this it works. We're able to tell the journey of each individual veteran to the donors, and the donors see that we have that 2% operating cost. Like you said, that's huge. And we run it from our homes. We're all volunteers. And it truly is about helping veterans in real time.
Is this a nationwide platform, Gretchen? Meaning anyone can access it, or is it specific to a region of the country?
No. Oh, absolutely not. We've helped veterans in every state of our nation. We continue to grow. If you surf through our Twitter page, you will see veterans from all over the country that are in need. The shutdowns and restrictions from last year that are, you know, moving into this year now have just been devastating for our country, and it's impacted our veteran community as well. We have so many hardworking families that have been struck hard and have just been crushed. And we are trying to stand in the gap to provide basic bills so that they have continued running water. They're getting utilities disconnects. They're being evicted. They're having their autos repoed. So we are trying to work as quickly as we can to get through our long line of vets to secure them until they can get their benefits, because, of course, the states are all backlogged. And yes. You know, this has just been a catastrophic the past year was catastrophic for the entire nation, and it's just spilled over into this new year. So we're working as quickly as we can.
And so you, like all of us, you know, we spent the last week or so since what we saw happen at the Capitol. The president was booted off of Twitter, I guess, a week ago Friday, and it seemed like that's the day. That day it happened, and then that following weekend, all of us, at least I can speak for me and my colleagues in talk radio anyway, and a lot of us on cable and in social media who are, you know, specifically who are conservatives. I don't know that it was everyone everywhere, but I can speak specifically for conservative media. We all started losing thousands and thousands and thousands of followers, you know, a day. I mean, it was really quite something. You experienced something similar?
Yes, I did, Chris. It was horrific because I've put a lot of time, blood, sweat, and tears into this platform, growing it over the past 3.5 years. And within a matter of 4 or 5 days, I've lost 64,000. When I say followers, it's / donors. Really, that's, you know, the heartbeat to CODA Vets, and losing that has, you know, been detrimental for us. We've lost a lot of donations thus far this month because of that. I've noticed a huge decrease. Again, last month, we had an incredible month. Then we move into this month, and it's just, you know, it's completely different. And so I'm just trying to rebuild and regrow and get the word out of, you know, how much we've lost. And it really does impact our veterans. And a lot of the accounts we lost also were veterans who really struggle day to day, and we are their support. They look to us for, you know, just a word of encouragement, a DM, hey, how you doing, brother? And I lost track of some of our suicidal veterans, and it's just, there's really, I can't put into words, Chris, you know, how wrong all of this is. And I know we're all on edge, we're all raw, and I try not to get political with my 501c3, but we cannot have censorship in our country. We've served for all Americans. Freedom of speech applies to all of us, and for what we are doing, we literally are saving lives.
Gretchen Smith is with an organization called Code of Vets. To be clear, you do not get political. You don't talk about President Trump or incoming President-elect Biden. That's not what you do at Code of Vets. You don't tweet about that kind of thing. Is that true?
I try to navigate around it. I am a veteran. I do have very strong beliefs. I believe in the Constitution, and I believe in freedom of speech. So when it impacts Code of Vets and how we're operating day to day, or when it's impacting the entire nation, we're all suffering. And right now, we're just in an unprecedented time. It's just, I've never walked through anything like this, and I think a lot of Americans feel that way. And I do have a voice, and I feel like just the overreach of what of the Democrats is just beyond wrong.
Yeah, the only reason I ask is because when you lose followers like that, and you lose donors, and you lose contact with veterans, I'm trying to establish a pattern. It was not a surprise to me that we in conservative media were targeted by Twitter. I was trying to establish why, you know, veterans would be booted off of Twitter, or why you would be targeted. And I suppose if they have then identified anybody, I guess, as being sympathetic with the president in any way, maybe that's why.
I do believe that's why. But at the same time, you know, I'm out there with a 2% operating cost. We help veterans from all walks of life. We don't ask them any questions regarding race, religion, politics, because honestly, we don't care. If you have your DD-214 and you served honorably, we're going to assist you if you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the heart of Code of Vets. So it's been tough these past few days trying to readjust from losing. That's a big drop, 64,000. And, it is. It's massive. So we're moving forward. I'm trying to rebuild it and grow again. And we'll see how that goes. I'm roughly at 296,000 versus 359,000.
And to be clear, so I'm sorry to interrupt you, Gretchen, but just to be clear, 64,000 followers gone. Do you know for a fact that some of those anyway are both donors and veterans who are not, I mean, you know, we're told that these are people who are either bots or they are QAnon kooks, or, you know, it's a great purging of either people who are conspiracy kooks or violent people, or algorithms or bots, or, you know, that it's Twitter housekeeping. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I know for a fact. No, absolutely not. I do believe that some of them were bots, absolutely, and I'm okay if they, you know, if they have to maintain the system. But I've lost contact with some of my veterans that I used to track, and since then some of them were elderly, and some of them were, you know, had some suicidal ideation, and they would check in with me from time to time, and I would as well. And they're missing. They're gone. The accounts are just gone. And some of my donors are gone. I've got some very dedicated followers, and I'm missing quite a few of them. So, yeah, they can't tell me it's all bots. I think they swept up a lot of people in the system, and it's sad because they went beyond conservatives' voices. And what they did was they impacted an incredible veteran organization out there, and we have, you know, reached out to veterans who are suicidal who've come to us and to seek help behind the scenes, and, you know, it's just, there's no words to describe it. I can't believe we're going through this in our country right now. I never thought we would live to see this level of censorship, and it's blatant.
I hope someday someone inside Twitter tells this story in full. I'd love to know more about this because there's a story behind it, and they know what they're doing, and I'd love to know what it is and why and how they did it. But that's for another day. Meanwhile, Gretchen Smith, how can people be helpful to Code of Vets?
Get on there and help us grow. If you do not want to be active on Twitter, just click a retweet or just go to our website, codeofvets.com. Sign up for a newsletter. You can follow some of our stories that way. Please donate.
Are you on Facebook, Gretchen? Are you on Facebook?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're on Facebook, Instagram. I've just recently got on Gab. I'm trying to grow that platform. So I'm trying to diversify a little bit instead of primarily just focusing on Twitter. This has been a harsh lesson. That you never know what's going to happen, you know, especially nowadays. So I've been trying to get out there and get on different platforms. And I'm so overwhelmed by what has happened because my heart has, you know, I did this for my dad. And for me, this is such a personal journey. And for Twitter to do something like this, it's just, I've been really struggling lately with trying to process it and to move beyond it. So yeah, I'm now just now starting to, you know, grow in other accounts and focus on them as well. We've got to keep Code of Vets out there because it's a simple mission, and it's I can't stress how effective it is. So please support the mission and help us grow. We are helping veterans all over the country.
Well, the Lord will fight your bigger battles for you. You just keep your nose to the grindstone and do what you do, Gretchen. Thank you so much for your time today.
Chris.
All right.
Thank you.
You know, you would think that Aaron Rodgers story, it really is a huge story. You think sports talk radio guys are going to pay much attention to the fact that Aaron Rodgers just called out liberals in California, that government has not done squat to help people in need during COVID lockdowns, and that they're utter hypocrites, that government's done nothing to be helpful? You suppose the sports talk scene's going to... He's one of the most famous people in the biggest show on television right now, the NFL. I haven't heard people say a word about Aaron Rodgers' comments about that.
Nope.
That's pretty remarkable.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. You live here. He lives here.
I'm so happy you're back on the air, and I wanted to let you know, love the podcast.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Welcome back, and thank you for all your information.
Did I tell you I am so happy to have you back on air in Philadelphia? Awesome.
Thank you for listening. I look forward to having your questions at another time, and I'm off to another event.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
So let me start with this plain up the vaccine question, which is there is this announcement. President-elect Biden calls for releasing all of the stockpile. The Trump administration agrees. And all of a sudden, there's no stockpile. Was this a miscommunication? Was this a bigger error? What is the explanation here?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, Chuck, but I tried and I think successfully sorted that out. I had a conversation with General Perna last night and again this morning. And I think there was just a misunderstanding. In the beginning, when it wasn't quite clear about what...
Wait. Now, I'm no journalist. And I'm certainly not part of the coronavirus task force. I'm no epidemiologist, nor am I a military general tasked with dispensing the vaccine. And by the way, good morning at a little past 8 on this Monday. My name is Chris Stegall, certified radio talk show host. And as you probably know by now, critically essential to this economy, designated so throughout this pandemic. Telephone number 610-850-0990. So I hear Chuck Todd's leadoff question there, and that causes me to pause as Dr. Fauci begins to try to answer it. The question is, the stockpile was ordered, released, and apparently there's not enough in the stockpile or not as much as they thought. Fauci is Chuck's guest. Fauci begins to respond by saying, I had a talk with General Perna, and I think I figured some things out. It'd been a miscommunication. Now, before we even hear whatever the hell Fauci's about to say, again, I'm no journalist. Why are you asking Dr. Fauci about the distribution of the vaccine? What the hell does Fauci have to do with it? If you're a journalist and you have a national television show and you're curious to know about the stockpile and distribution of it, why would you not seek to find somebody who has an authority on the stockpile and distribution of the vaccine, like General Perna or one of his associates? That's not Dr. Fauci's wheelhouse. I'm trying to think of something analogous. I would not reach out to the mayor of Philadelphia's office if I wanted an update on how Pennsylvania dairy is going.
Right.
He could probably take a shot at it, but it would probably not be the most authoritative. He could tell me, well, I made a call to the Pennsylvania Dairy Association, Chris, and here's what I think I know. I'd probably rather talk to Pennsylvania Dairy Association directly. Right? So why wouldn't you talk with General Perna? That would be my first question. So I'm already suspicious going into this. Like, again, this is how I don't know if you listen to these things the same way I do, but I'm irked before this even gets started. Why isn't there enough vaccine? Why is the short? Why is the, you know, the stockpile, we were going to release it, and there's not enough in the stockpile? What do you know, Dr. Fauci? Why? What the heck? Why is Dr. Fauci Oz? Why does Dr. Fauci have all the answers to, like, he's Santa? He shows up and tell us, oh, wise Dr. Fauci. Like, he knows every damn thing.
Well, I got off the phone with General Perna, and here's what I know.
If Dr. Fauci can call General Perna, Chuck, why can't you call General Perna and get the information yourself? All right.
The cadence, as he calls it, of the rolling out of doses would be, there was a lot of caution. So they wanted to make sure that everyone who got a first dose got a second dose on time. So when doses were released, an equal amount was kept back to make sure that if there was any glitches in the supply flow, that the people who got their first doses would clearly get their second doses. After a couple of cycles, when it became clear that the cadence of the flow of doses was really going to be consistent and reliable, the decision was made, instead of just giving enough for the first dose and holding back for the second dose, that as soon as they got the doses available, they would give it, because now they would have confidence that the next amount they would get, they'd have enough at least to give everybody the second dose, and then some to give the first dose.
I didn't understand any of that. That didn't help me even a little bit. That made me more confused. Those were all words he said, none of which made sense. He said first and second dose 1,000 times. That didn't help me. Here's what I'll tell you the American people didn't know. I'll guarantee you most Americans did not know this, that there's a first and second dose. I'll promise you they didn't, because it's my job to know this stuff, and I didn't know it until a week or two into its distribution. Most people did not know there were two damn shots. Most people didn't. I'll guarantee they didn't. I'll bet you most people at this hour don't understand there are two. Because the news media has sucked in reporting it. Furthermore, I'll guarantee you, most people do not understand, as Cheryl Atkinson reported over the weekend, this thing is not some kind of long-lasting shot. This is, you're talking months, maybe, if your immune system's boosted from this thing. It's not some kind of, I mean, they guarantee, I will guarantee you, you may as well mark this down in the prediction folder, Fast Eddie. This year, we're going to start hearing stories about time for your COVID booster. By the time we all get our shots and everybody gets their vaccines, like good men and women, boys and girls, by the time we all finally get these things and people have stopped panicking and everybody gets their shots and everybody's so happy they got their shot, and everybody's calmed down. I got my shot. I got my shot. Yay, yay. I got my shot. I got my shot. And we can all somehow get back to some kind of normal life again. I got my shot. I got my shot. You know what we're going to hear? Well, now, everybody, don't get too excited. Just because you got your shot doesn't mean you can't get COVID. They're not saying that right now. They're not saying that right now because they don't want to discourage you. They don't want to discourage you. Right now, they want to leave you with the impression, get your shot, be safe from COVID forever. Truth is, everybody's mauling one another in a panic to get the stupid shot. You run out and you get the shot, the first shot, the second shot, jump down, turn around, pick a bale of cotton, fight with your neighbor, elbow this, first A, 1B, two-tiered C, stand in line, elbow them, arm wrestle, fist fight, fisticuffs, who gets who. It's all this stupid crap that we're going to go through. And then finally the food fight's over and everybody gets their shot. You get a shot and you get a shot. I got my shot. Yay, we all got shots. Oh, hallelujah.
Wait, 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 everyone. I want everyone to calm down, calm down. No, no, no. Coronavirus is still very much here and very, very virulent, and everyone can still catch it.
But I got my shot. We all got our shot. My neighbor got his shot. My teacher got the shot. And my grandma got her shot. And my mother got her shot. We all got our shots.
Yeah, I know, but you can all get very sick still. So you're going to need another shot.
I promise it's coming. Write it down in your prediction folder. This is not one and done. If you think this year you're going to be told this is it, forget about it. You're going to be told coronavirus shot is something you're going to have to do every year. COVID shot is going to become flu shot.
The new strain, they've identified it. Now get your shot to address it.
That's right. You're going to be doing shots like a college kid at St. Patrick's Day. It's shot this, shot that, everywhere a shot shot. Old McFauci had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, with a flu shot here and a COVID shot there, here a shot, there a shot, everywhere a shot shot. This shot happy SOB, I mean, he can't shoot you full of enough. Shot, 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 shot. 1, 2, shot, shot, shot. 3, 4, shot, shot, shot. They'll be doing dance lessons with it. Shot, shot, shot. They can't inject you full of enough stuff. Shot, shot, shot. You think this is over? It's not over.
It's not over till I say it's over.
Thank you, doctor. I'm sorry. I really hate being the wet blanket here. They have no intention of letting you off this easy. You think we get to resume life as normal after everybody stops panicking and gets their shot? No, no, no. The only way we're going to be able to participate is to show our papers with regular shots. We're going to be like our dogs. We may as well just put collars and tags on us like the dog. I can't take my dog to be boarded without the, you know, the paperwork and the tag on the collar.
Or your phone app. Do you have the PA snitch core app?
That's
with
right. That's right. has he had his parvo shot? Yes. How about you? Tag? What, me? I'm just boarding the dog. Yeah, but you too. What's my COVID shot got to do with keeping my dog here? Papers? Okay. Seems a little forward. 6-1. I'm a little tired of health people running our lives. I've had about all I can stand of Dr. Fauci. It's enough. Enough. I can't take another year of Dr. Fauci determining our freedom of movement. Can't take it. 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. This is Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Take your shots in here. You want one?
What we saw last week was not just a violent coup attempt.
Oh, Lord.
But we also saw a dereliction of duty and a betrayal of our country.
Oh, do tell.
And a betrayal of the oath that we swear.
Yes.
And that is why I have demanded the resignations of Senators Ted Cruz, Senators Josh Hawley, Majority Leader, Republican Minority Leader in the House, Kevin McCarthy.
Right.
Along with many
others. Isn't she cute? She's playing dress up, everybody. Doesn't even know who the hell is she talking about. Majority Leader. Telephone number 610-850-0. Regular Margaret Thatcher, isn't she? There she is, everybody. The intellectual heft of AOC demanding the resignation of Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and Kevin McCarthy. Here to discuss this and many other completely insane things on Capitol Hill is our friend Carrie Pickett, an actual thinking woman, senior campaign reporter at the Washington Examiner. And she has her own show, by the way, Sirius XM Patriot 125. So glad to have you, Carrie. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Carrie, I just don't have time for this. This isn't serious. I mean, this is just ignorance. I mean, the idea that any member of Congress should be thrown out or resign because they stand and speak. I mean, even Pat Toomey, who wants to impeach President Trump, had to acknowledge these members of Congress had every right in the world. Even if they didn't agree, they had every right to stand and speak on this day to object to the certification of a vote. That's not in dispute, literally. is it, for honest people?
Well, sure. I mean, what these lawmakers were doing on Wednesday were simply objecting to the electoral vote to states like Arizona and Pennsylvania. They had the perfect constitutional right to do that. This was their freedom of speech. And for lawmakers like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to say otherwise is absolutely silly. In fact, you have one lawmaker who is looking to even push a resolution to expel these particular members. I believe it's Cori Bush who is looking to do that. And I understand that certain Democrats are like, we don't have time for that. But, this is one of those things here that you're going to be seeing a lot of Democrats who are looking for censures of a number of Republicans. They're looking for expulsions of a number of Republicans right at the beginning of this new Congress. They're going to feel their oats a bit and feel just how far they can push it because they've already impeached Donald Trump twice. They're going to see what they can do in the Senate after he's left on Wednesday. And I'm not too sure whether or not the American public is really going to be able to take that much, because right after they do that, they're going to start pushing an agenda so very quickly after Joe Biden ends up issuing a number of executive orders. So it's going to be essentially like a fire hose of a huge disc coming out with a push of lots of water coming out of Biden-ness and liberalness all at once.
Yeah, Carrie, the Josh Hawley situation is a particularly interesting one. It seems like the American left has really trained its sights, particularly on him. I mean, there are other senators. You know, in Missouri, in Missouri, entities like Commerce Bank, Missouri-based Commerce Bank, Hallmark, they've requested their PAC money back. There's Roger Marshall in Kansas. But, over the weekend, Lowe's Hotel told Hawley that he can't hold his fundraiser there. We know Simon & Schuster pulled their book deal from Hawley. It seems the American left has particularly zeroed in on him. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. You had a Josh Hawley who wanted to have a fundraiser over at a local Lowe's Hotel, and then Lowe's Hotel at the last minute said, no, you can't have a fundraiser here. And expect to see that not just with Josh Hawley, but with other Republicans as well, because you have a number of companies who have contributed to Republican PACs who have said, we're not going to contribute to those Republican PACs anymore. So there, because, all of these lawmakers, you had like around 139 or so of them who ended up objecting to, one of those states' electoral votes. So, honestly, I'd like to see where they are a couple of months down the road when those companies are going to probably need some help in Congress. Congressman, Senator, we are really going to need you. Oh, really? You're going to need me? Because just a few months ago, you wanted to not get to my pack. Oh, you know what? You can move along. Oh, no. Don't worry about that. That was just for, PR. So let's see where those companies are a few months down the road.
You think this dies down then, Carrie? You suspect this goes away?
I have a feeling it could very well crawl away. Yeah. I think that was for a lot of the liberal pressure makers who were, calling them up all over the place, being like, what you going to do? What you going to do? And then and they had to put out statements. But when they need perhaps the ranking member on some Senate committee or the ranking member on some House committee to put something out, they're going to be like, don't worry about it. We'll be there if you want. So let's see where they are.
Carrie, what do you, by the way, Carrie Pickett with us, senior campaign reporter at the Washington Examiner. What do you think realistically happens in the Senate now once you get these two new Georgia Democrats sworn in? Kamala Harris becomes the tie-breaking Democrat vote. I've heard it kind of – there are differing opinions on Joe Manchin. Some say Joe Manchin is sort of going to be the guy that keeps Democrats from going off the reservation. Some say you're nuts if you think you shouldn't put that much faith in Joe Manchin. And then I've heard others say that even there are some more Democrats besides Joe Manchin that aren't willing to go as full throttle hard left as some Democrats have said they want to go. What's your read, or have you talked to many? Do you know?
There's the camp that likes to say things like Joe Manchin will do anything that that a Schumer will tell him to do, despite his hemming and hawing. And then there's the Joe Manchin who likes to like come out and be like, oh no, no one ever tells me what to do. but ultimately, it really does come down to what exactly does Joe Manchin personally get out of it. And I'd like to first point out, let's take the filibuster for example. Will they get rid of the legislative filibuster, which will open doors for the Democrats, and will simply make it just the only thing the Democrats will need is a simple majority to pass any legislation they want, which will essentially just change the Senate into the House as far as passing legislation. But one of the things that people tend to forget. Yeah, and I was talking to a friend of mine about this, who's a chief of staff up on Capitol Hill. She's like, Carrie, all that really means is like, you watch the old Jimmy Stewart film, Citizen Kane. It means that they're actually going to have to filibuster. Okay, it means that that the Republicans, it isn't just the gentleman's agreement of okay, you need 60 votes. It means that the Republicans will actually have to go to the floor and actually, keep on, talking. It's not just a threat of a filibuster and needing 60 votes. It's actually talking.
Physically going until not stopping until, yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to make that very clear because, if they get rid of the legislative filibuster, so to speak, It as opposed to the way it is now, it would just mean we need 60 votes, which is right now it's simply just a gentleman's agreement. So
meaning there would still technically be a function for Republicans to physically filibuster,
which is what nobody wants to do. Exactly. Now it's just exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing here though is that. What it opens up is simply to expand the court. With because some people say, well, conservatives still have the Supreme Court. Well, Democrats can simply expand the court if they don't have that situation. Because the current court can protect our right to a gun. Well, maybe we don't know. Perhaps, but. If you expand that court to maybe two or three more liberals, maybe not. So there's things like that.
Carrie, I know this is going to be a naive-sounding question, and it is. I acknowledge it, but I'll ask it anyway just for the sake of throwing it out there. It has been said, and it was once described of Joe Biden, that he was largely sort of a moderate, certainly not the wing nut that a lot of progressive leftists are today. And I have heard some say that he's still that guy. But in his weakened state and his advanced age, he's just no match for them now, and that he's just basically a shell of his former self, and he's basically just sort of the Trojan horse, paper tiger. Now he'll just sort of do as he's told. Is that your read on him?
Yes and no.
Can he keep this radical fringe at bay, I guess, would be my question, or not?
No.
He cannot.
Joe Biden is a man of the times of his party. That's all he is, and that's all he ever was.
I would say then, sorry to interrupt, you believe mm-hmm. him to be as left-wing as they are then. He's not a moderate, really.
He never really was. I mean, if his party was a moderate left in the 1970s, and he was moderate left. If his party goes, you know, ends up going way left, then he was going to be way left. He went wherever his party went, and that's it. So, you know, he was like Gumby. He was like Play-Doh. he was like a piece of Play-Doh. It's like, oh, this is where my party's going? Well, then I'm going to go that way, too, because that's where the votes are going.
Got it.
Yeah, that's all he is.
And then, I guess, finally, on impeachment trial, are you hearing where that could go? Does McConnell, I mean, ultimately, I guess Schumer would be the guy that would pull the plug on going forward with a trial. He'll want to do that to finish this off, right? But they say they've got lots of business they want to tend to, but is that important business to Schumer? I guess so.
I think Schumer is likely to probably, at this point, go through with it, unless he thinks that it is not going to really help Democrats at this point, but it looks like he could go through with it. But once again, it really depends on the schedule at this point.
But they don't have the votes to convict, Carrie, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, and their main argument right now is, well, we just don't want him to, like, be able to run again. Well, you need to convict him, and you need 17 Republicans, and frankly, it doesn't look like those 17 Republicans are going to come through, no matter how much Lisa Murkowski may hate Donald Trump's guts.
Carrie, it's a real pleasure. Thanks for starting your week with us. I appreciate it.
Sure thing.
That's Carrie Pickett, senior campaign reporter at the Washington Examiner. So that's where things stand in D.C. at this hour. Coming up, remember the story of Jesse Morgan, the guy whose trailer went missing, the guy who claimed he drove pallets of Pennsylvania voters' ballots to Lancaster, and then that trailer just vanished. Remember that story? We told that story here. You might have wondered, whatever happened to that guy? Whatever happened to that story? I don't know. Nobody ever seemed to really care to follow up either. So we thought, why don't we? That's what we're going to do next on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer.
Your opinion matters. Take the poll at 990theanswer.com. Sponsored by Stillman Volvo. Four generations in Westchester. Online at stillmanvolvocars.com.
You might remember a story that we talked about pretty extensively here. It was very interesting to me, and I know it was interesting to you because a number of you still reach out to this day and ask me about it. And I promised that we would follow up on it because it was an unsettling story. I couldn't ever know for sure whether it was true or not, but I know one of the voices that lent his name to it is somebody that I have trusted and leaned on for a number of years. I've known for a long time as a professional friend on this show and previous shows. His name is Phil Klein. He is part of the Amistad Project of the Thomas More Society, and he's back with us. It's the story of, if you remember, Jesse Morgan, the gentleman who drove a truck that he claimed contained ballots, Pennsylvania ballots, that he drove from the state of New York to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And the trailer that contained those ballots, he says, went missing overnight. And as of the story he told, we never heard from that trailer or knew where those ballots went again. So I said we'd follow up on that story, and that's what we're doing this morning with Phil Klein, who returns again. And Phil, first of all, thanks again for coming back on this Monday morning. I appreciate it. Hi.
Howdy, Chris. Great to be with you.
So I guess this is one of those stories that makes a lot of our listeners feel like, you know, it was unanswered, it's unsettling, and when we're told by a lot of the smart folks in media, shut up, stop asking questions, there are no questions, no judges have ever verified that there was any fraud or any concerns for real in this election. Joe Biden won, and there are no questions to be asked anymore. This is one of those stories that keeps coming up, and should it continue to come up as a legitimate concern or not? What's Phil Klein's read on it at this hour as an attorney close to it?
Well,
Absolutely. And I would add this, and I know you know this, Chris, that whenever somebody says, stop asking questions, there's no reason to ask questions. That's when you should press forward with questions even more than ever, especially when they tell you to shut up, which is increasingly happening in this country with the censorship that is occurring out there. But Jesse's trailer disappeared with 250,000 completed ballots in it. And we have provided that information to the Office of Inspector General of the United States Postal Service. We verified what happened with Jesse through investigation, as well as direct eyewitness cooperation from a dock worker that's called an expediter at a postal facility in Bethpage, New York, a postal facility which, by the way, is not designed to even receive mail, and a dock worker who was afraid to speak but indicated that this had happened on multiple occasions in October. And yet, to our knowledge, all that the Inspector General's office has done is to try to question Jesse's mother and then bother his ex-wife.
Jesse has, as I understand it, lost his job or quit his job with this trucking firm since we talked. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Was he, I don't know if you can get into it, was he fired or did he quit?
No, he quit. He was concerned about going back and just decided not to. But he's doing well right now, especially today. He's a Buffalo Bills fan. I was exchanging some text with him yesterday. So he's pretty excited. But he is still concerned about the whereabouts of his trailer. And as you know, Chris, there's a lot of evidence that can easily be obtained by the right authorities. That trailer has GPS.
Yeah.
As does his tractor, so they could verify his movements that day. All of these people that we turned over, I remember when we provided Jesse for an interview by the Inspector General's office, I told him that we had cooperation of others and I had a written statement of Jesse. You know, they've never asked for it or asked for the name of the dock worker. But they did almost immediately. Now, Jesse, during this time that he came forward, he was dealing with a lot. His mother's mother, his grandmother, died of a stroke. And the first action of the postal inspector's office was to try to bother his mother, to try to determine how Jesse ever ended up in the media. And additionally, they then went to his ex-wife and kept bothering her, trying to interview her, and she refused. And we don't know of any other efforts by the Inspector General's office, and they've never asked us for Jesse's written statement nor the name of the dock worker up at Bethpage.
So, and for people that are just listening in and maybe don't know this story, just to shorthand it, this Jesse is a Jesse Morgan is a guy who is an independent. At this time, he was an independent truck driver who was hauling. Was it exclusively mail or some other things and
yeah.
Some mail from Bethpage, New York?
No, it was mail, and it was the same route every day with the same tractor and the same trailer from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, up to Bethpage, back to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and then his day would end at Lancaster.
And it was just one particular day? It wasn't a series of days. It was just one particular day he noted that he was hauling these ballots. Is that right?
Yeah, October 21st. And they were ballots that were completed. They had return addresses and so forth on them. He described them to authorities, and we also corroborated that. And these ballots, his route, Chris, is back to Harrisburg where he unloads and then on to Lancaster. And so, of course, the Harrisburg mail is loaded last in Bethpage, New York, so it could come off, and then the Lancaster mail. And this facility does not carry what is called flats. It's packages and things like that. And so Jesse, and it was unusual, Jesse gets loaded up with ballots. So he says about four-fifths of his trailer were these flats, which were completed absentee ballots. And they were in those bulk mail trays, all stacked up, ready to go to the counting room, essentially. And, either something nefarious is occurring or 250,000 Pennsylvanians decided to vacation in Bethpage, New York, and mail their ballots at the same time, which ended up on the docks of a facility that doesn't receive mail.
You know, Phil, what I almost wish is these were 250,000 Trump votes. I only because if they were, then you can bet it would be a full-blown media scandal. I mean, it would be if you found out those were 250,000 Trump votes, you can bet heads would be on fire, would you not? I mean, it would be explosive.
It's just like if the $419 million that Mark Zuckerberg put into the election, to buy local election offices, including $10 million in Philadelphia, to turn out to vote for Biden, had been $419 million from the National Rifle Association to rural counties to turn out to vote for Trump.
So, Phil, here's where guys like me sit. I know you. I've known you a long time. I trust you. I have no reason to doubt you. You're a man of the law. But here's what I get from people that I respect a lot. They say, well, Chris, you keep entertaining these things. You get people wound up. No judge has ever heard this. It's never been proven in a court of law. You can keep saying these things, but it doesn't make it so. And it's maddening for this audience. It's maddening to me. And I guess we're just going to always be in an impasse because this story doesn't make sense. I don't have any reason to doubt it. I'm tired of being told to doubt it. Why should I have to doubt it? Why shouldn't they have to disprove it? I don't know why Jesse is somebody I have to, why do I have to assume Jesse's lying,
Well, you did not. And all of this takes investigation. And what I was asked the other day by a journalist, what's the most compelling evidence of wrongdoing in this election? And I said, well, it's the people who have the responsibility of running a transparent election who did not do so and refuse any questions and refuse to allow access to the information that would demonstrate that the election was run properly. I mean, I've never investigated anybody as attorney general, and as you know, at that time I oversaw the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. I never investigated anybody who had control of evidence that proved their innocence but didn't want me to see it. And I've never investigated anybody who was guilty of controlled evidence who wanted to keep me from seeing it. So that was step number one, to see that the election was not transparent and that all of those who operated the election in the urban core never, ever allowed access. They were ordered at times to give limited access, but they never willingly allowed access. And you follow up that with admitted violations of state law and $419 million of Zuckerberg money, and then the flow of ballots that we're speaking about, and you have something that demands investigation. It demands questions and answers. People aren't interested.
Yeah.
They're frightened by it.
If 250,000 ballots, if half of those, if we're really talking about that many ballots, if that's real, if even half of those are Biden ballots and they're illegitimate ballots. Joe Biden has supposedly won Pennsylvania by 80,000, we're told. I mean, that's if this truck is real and those ballots are real and they're illegal ballots, then you could be talking about the truck that gave Biden Pennsylvania, potentially.
Well, that's not evidence in a vacuum either, Chris. I mean, we brought forward the sworn testimony of another subcontractor who was told that over 100,000 ballots were swept up into the Postal Service system on November 4th, the day after the election, and had some evidence of that. You follow that up with a sworn statement by a gentleman out of Delaware County, just south of you there in Philadelphia, who says and took pictures in the early morning hours of a ballot drop where tens of thousands of ballots show up on the morning after the election packaged in the very same manner as they were packaged on Jesse Morgan's trailer. Hmm. I mean, we can go on and on with this stuff. But the institutions responsible for trying to find the truth are failing and refuse to do so.
And so when you're accused of being one of these voices that's causing insurrection and violence and these sorts of things, it's people like you and I suppose people like me for continuing to raise these questions and not accepting Biden as the president-elect and continuing to question that's causing people angst and getting them upset with, quote, no evidence and no judge has ever given any credibility to what we're saying. What do you say about that?
Well, I think it's frightening. We live in a time when speech is considered violence, and violence is considered speech. And I think that reflects a lot on the thinking today, particularly of those in power. When we assault free speech and say that it should be criminal, and at the same time we allow criminal conduct to be characterized as speech, we know it's not about liberty, nor is it about speech. It's about control. It's about cultural hegemony. It's about thinking. You cannot exercise thought unless your thoughts are consistent in the way that the authorities want you to think. That's what this is about. It's frightening to me that we would put in the same sentence crime in speech.
And this very specific thing that people like to say, I get it from even conservatives today. Because you're a guy of the law. I mean, you've tried many cases. You've been before many judges. This is something that they love to say. This is always sort of the thing they always say to shut down every argument. Even Trump-appointed judges, even pro-Trump judges, no judge has heard any of this. No judge has taken your side. No judge has ever lent a moment's worth of credibility to anything you're saying on any front. What do you say to that, Phil?
Well, that's untrue. And provably so. Our lawsuits relating to Mark Zuckerberg are still alive, and we plan to pursue them. We're in the process of what's called discovery, where you have the right to obtain information. All of that takes time. The courts were not designed to manage this process in a term of 60 days. They have not heard evidence. They have not been able to have a trial. They have not conducted evidentiary hearings. None of that has occurred. And what has happened is the bodies that are responsible, that the Constitution vests the authority in, state legislatures, did not even meet after November 3rd all the way up until about January 5th. And then they didn't have the time as a body, and were told they could not discuss, debate, and vote on certification of the election.
That's what happened. Well, Phil, I am grateful to you for this follow-up. I want to stay in touch. I'm glad you're out there. Like I say, I trust you implicitly. I think you're one of the sharpest legal minds I know, and you're one of the few guys left that's still willing to continue to hammer this, even though, like I said, all the smart set and the conventional wisdom police out there say, shut up, keep your head down, move on, nothing more to see here. Thank you for continuing this conversation. I hope we can continue to have you back.
Thank you, Chris.
That's Phil Klein. He is with the Amistad Project of the Thomas More Society. Break here at 8:54 on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer.
Your opinion matters. Take the poll at 990theanswer.com. Sponsored by Stillman Volvo. Four generations in Westchester. Online at stillmanvolvocars.com.
Yeah, if you want to hear an explosive interview, you've got to catch my Friday podcast with Colonel Kurt Schlichter. Run over there and listen today. You'll love it.
WNTP Philadelphia. Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer. Download our free mobile app at 990theanswer.com.